Welcome to this week's episode of News of the North. It's July 20th, 2016, and I'm your host, Paul Filio, here as always, with the magnanimous Antoine Bergeron.
That word, I'm not too sure what it means.
It's good things. Don't worry.
Okay.
I only say good things about you when you can hear me.
That's fine.
How's it going, Antoine?
Good, you?
It's going well. It's going well. I have to say, I'm happy I've successfully resisted the Pokemon Go. I know we said we weren't going to talk about it, but I have to bring it up. And you are kind of addicted, I think, from our discussion. You seem to know a lot about the game.
I think I'm not, but playing it, yes.
Well, good for you.
I did some detour today that I would have done in other times.
Yeah, you're getting your walking in. So, there's that. It's a good thing.
Yeah. It's a good thing I went back to work, because there's a lot more Pokestops and gyms downtown than in Repentigny.
Yeah, that I can only imagine. I was seeing pictures today of Victoria Square, like, overrun with people hunting for Pokemon. So,
just here, the local library has a gym and a bunch of stops right next to it, and I've never seen so many people outside of the opening hours there.
That's crazy. Well, I'm glad people are having fun with it.
Yes.
All right. So let's get this show on the road. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about this week. First up, as always, we're going to talk about our events. And we've got a couple of events. And we got a couple of events here on the list. And we've mentioned them both before. First up is the Capital City Bloodbath, August 19th to 21st.
That's at the EY Center in Ottawa. Age of Sigmar, 40K, War Machine Hordes, X-Wing, Batman Miniature Game. They also have a garage sale. You can find information about the event itself, registration, and everything at capitalcitybloodbath.com.
Perfect. And next up, we have the Quebec City Open from September 23rd to the 25th.
Yeah, in Quebec City at the Quebec Inn Hotel, they will have 40K, X-Wing, War Machine Hordes, Age of Sigmar, and also a painting contest run by Thierry Hussard. Their website URL is complicated, so you will find a link to it in the show note.
Sounds good. And with that out of the way, let's jump right into the news. First up, as always, we're going to talk about our non-crowdfunding related stuff. And first on that list is Dicey Venture, Elemental Village 3D files available.
Yes, we've mentioned them in the past. They had a Kickstarter running. The Kickstarter didn't pan out. They didn't fund. However, they already have all the files and everything, so they decided to go straight up, and they are offering the digital files for sale right now. So you cannot get the printed stuff, but you can get the files and print them yourself, either with a gnome printer or any kind of service that provide printing service if you have the STL files.
So, wow. I'm surprised that Kickstarter didn't complete.
I think they came close. I don't remember the exact numbers, but they didn't make it, sadly.
Wow. Okay.
And I know those are some cool stuff. I think they made some change to some of the buildings based on the comments from the Kickstarter. So some of the air dwellings were maybe too round. So they, I don't know what exactly they changed. I didn't look back, but I know that they changed at least part of the air buildings.
Oh, interesting. I'll have to go check it out. I'll have to take a look. All right. What's next in line? Oh, Night Models, one of our favorites, has released the Marvel Universe Miniature Game Rulebook online for free.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, that's about it.
More to add to that.
What was there to say? Next in line, Ben Comet's Miniatures, Hero of the Sky. What's that about?
Have you seen the animated movie Porco Rosso by the Studio Ghiblis?
No.
No. It's a bust of the main character from that. It's a pig aviator.
So, well, this would appeal to you.
Yes. It's a nice bust. And Ben Comet is also... He started a Patreon and some of his own stuff on his own side. So he will also have tutorials to go with that specific bust, which is the first in his line.
It's interesting.
Yeah, totally, it went out fast because I added the miniature in our document last night, and it's already sold out.
Wow, is it a limited run, or is he making more?
I don't know, so we might mention it for nothing.
For nothing, wow, okay.
I hope they do another run quickly, because the miniature is nice.
Yeah, not my style, but I can totally see the appeal, and Ben is a super cool guy, so I wish him nothing but success. He is one of the most pleasant and genuine professional painters I've ever had the pleasure of meeting. He's way better than Yom.
I was expecting that.
I have to poke fun at Yom. But actually, no.
So, sorry, people, you cannot buy it right now. But write to Mr. Comets and mention that you would like to have a second run made. Maybe it's an option right now. So, at least take a
look
at it.
I'm sure if there's interest, he'll do a second run or whatever. It only makes sense, right? If you can sell a product, unless he's really trying to make it exclusive, I'm sure he won't be opposed to selling more of them if he has, a venue for them all.
For sure.
All right. What else we got here? Oh, yeah, cool. Middle King Studio. The Relic Blade 2-player battle set is now available.
Yes, Relic Blade ran a successful Kickstarter earlier this year, this year.
It was earlier this year.
Yeah, and everything is shipped to backers now, so they have started to sell the 2-player battle set, which include all the pigs miniatures, all the heroes, the rulebook, the cards, and some tokens.
So that's $99?
12 miniatures and one... Well, 13 miniatures, and one of those is the relic token for the scenario, so...
Yeah, and for $99, it's not bad. Those miniatures are what material, out of curiosity, do you know?
Pewter.
They're pewter. Okay, so that many pewter miniatures for $99.
I say pewter, but yes, they are pewter, white metal.
Yeah, so I think it's a reasonable value.
Yes.
I haven't tried the game myself, but I did read the rules during the Kickstarter, and I know you and Yom really like the game, so I take that for... as high praise for the game.
Played,
it's worth people checking out.
I've played two or three games and really like the feel of it. It's worth taking a look at it. Especially if you are not sure about it, you can get just the PDF of the rules for something like $5 or $6. So it's not a big investment to at least look at it.
Hardly a big risk.
Yes.
All right, moving on. Ninja Division has some July releases. What do we got there, Antoine?
Okay, there's a bunch of stuff because they lump all their games into the Ninja Division line now. So first up, they have the Super Dungeon Explorer, Super Ninja Ambush. It's a warband for Super Dungeon Explorer based on the ninjas from Ninja All-Stars. So you have three of the Ronins that you can use as heroes, and... two spawn points of ninjas using the regular ninjas from the clans, and two Unis to use as mini monsters.
That's kind of so cool.
It's a crossover between their two shibi lines. It's cool.
And do we have a price point on that yet by chance, or is that just announced?
There's one, but it's in the definition. Give me one second. It's clicking out at... My page is too small. I cannot see the price.
Yeah, I'm actually having that similar problem too. This is fantastic.
$50.
Oh, that's a good deal then. For that many miniatures?
Yes, it's a lot of miniatures and they're really nice quality. Because I do have the Ninja All-Star.
Yeah,
and
yeah, I like...
It's based stuff. And they
I like
are
those
really
characters.
Cool.
Maybe I'd invest in that. Said Paul.
Yeah.
All right.
So, also of that, speaking of Ninja All-Stars, they have a bunch of release from the Kickstarter. So, different of the Ronins. and some for the different clans. So Mizaru for the Yamarazu clan. They also have the Moon Princess, which is the main character behind the storyline, which she is running the tournaments which host the game Ninja All-Star, but she's sneaking into it and participating as a Ronin. And they also have Bakusho Mandai and Onibaba, and lastly Komuso, which are three other Ronins. Oh, I'm missing one. Musashi also. So four other Ronins on top of the special character for one of the clans. That's all released right now. And they have two releases for Relic Knights. First is the Field Medic for the Black Diamond and the Catalog for the Doctrine. So two new resin models. Really nice sculpts. I've seen the cards for the Medic. She's cool. She heals people in her faction, and she can also heal cross-faction models. They're just less it's less effective if you have a Void model in your list, let's say.
Okay.
Which is cool. Probably something for Steve's to invest in.
Well, I think first he's got to find people to play the game with him.
We played a game last week.
Oh, I'm looking forward to hearing how that went.
Oh, in the next recording?
Yeah, there we go. I have to live vicariously through you guys because I haven't gamed in like 3 months. Let's see, what do we got next? Puppets War, Steam Club.
We are used to having proxy bits.
I was going to say, it doesn't sound like a 40k proxy. What is this?
This is a band of five models with steampunk girl gunfighters. Which is a bit outside of what we usually see for them. And they're all cool. Separate bits. So the weapons are interchangeable between models, so you're not locked into specific models.
Yeah, I was just seeing that. That's a neat idea.
And I said girl, but I think one of them is a... I think one of them is a man, yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious how he accomplished that without making... Like, how do you make all the equipment fit across five models?
They maybe not all fit everywhere. Some might be...
Well, it says any equipment fit to any model.
Well, he worked a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Like that, and you know that's not to be underestimated. That takes a lot of planning to do. So that's really cool.
Yeah, looking at you have a bits section, a exploded version of the models. So all the models already include their arms. So you only have the end and the weapon, which are separate pieces. So not the full arm. So you cannot change how the arms are, but you can change the weapon that's posed on the model.
Yeah.
And they might not all look good on every model, but at least you have the option.
For sure. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's well priced. €25 for really, really detailed models that you could use as proxies for a bunch of stuff. So.
Yeah, I wonder what he had in mind when he designed them, you know?
I'm not too sure. Maybe a steampunk Inquisitor Bourbon for 40k, maybe? If you want to have a different feel for one of your group.
That could be.
Or there's a bunch of steampunk games. Or maybe some post-apocalyptic with a Victorian team. I'm not too sure. I like the look, though.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, no, it's Puppets War, right? Everything he does is really nice.
And they might fit into, what's the name? You have the church faction for that. Wild West Exodus?
Wild West Exodus, yep.
It might be small because they're 28mm heroic, and I think...
Yeah, and WWX is quite large.
35, yeah.
Yeah. True enough. But still a cool idea. Yep. All right. What do we got next? Hysterical Games. I almost said historical. That's not Hysterical Games. Panzerfaust Unarmored Starter Set.
Yeah, Panzerfaust was run on Kickstarter or Indiegogo. I think Kickstarter last year. It's a World War One alternate history games. But it's not alternate history. It's alternate fantasy game. So every faction or every country is represented by a different, not country, but nationality is represented by a different fantasy race. So you have orcs for one, dwarves for another. You even have, I think it's gremlins for French. Not gremlins, but I'm drawing a blank on the exact name of the group. Gnomes, maybe? I'm not too sure. However, anyway, the starter set comes with two sections, a section of dwarf and a section of orc. They call it an armor because it's only with the infantry models, and you have a limited rulebook that only that skip all the vehicle stuff. So that gets you quickly into the game and cheaply also. So you get the rules, the dice, and everything you need to play and to start jumping into Panzerfaust.
Very cool. And I had a talk not long ago with Kevin Clark about two-player starters. He's like, they don't make sense. I don't know why companies make them. And I think I have to disagree. I think they do make a lot of sense. And like starter sets and two-player starters, I think really, really help get people into games because it's an easy purchase, you know? So I like seeing these little indie games coming up with stuff that, you know, to entice people to try out their product.
It's good mostly, I think, not for if you get a whole group into a game, it's not as useful. But if you're the like the alpha gamer in your group and you want to try get something and have two factions to make other people in your group try.
If your name is Antoine,
no.
Then this could be for you.
But most of the time, a new game is promoted by one person. And it's absolutely an easier boy for them because it's cheaper. You get more of the stuff. You get two small factions to be able to try it out. And after that, other people might jump in and get their own stuff.
Yep. Every product has a champion, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So right now, it's available at a reduced price of £40. And for the remainder of July. After that, it's going up to its normal RRP. What's in what do we see usually here?
Well, RRP is recommended retail price.
Okay, yeah, the retail price, yeah. Of 50
we pounds. Usually use MSRP here, which MSRP, is manufacturer yeah, suggested yeah. retail price. Yeah, whatever. Same stuff.
Yeah. I know what it meant. I didn't remember the acronym we use usually.
No problem. So, next in line, I looked at it and I thought it was a different game by looks. But it turns out it's not what I thought it was. So we have Warlord Games Conflict 47 on pre-order.
Yes, for people who are wondering what it is, it's Dust for Bolt Action.
I was going to say, it's not Dust.
It's not Dust for Bolt Action. So it's a weird World War II alternate. They called it Future History World War II. So yeah. It's... The war didn't end, and they added mystical stuff. So you have German zombies, walkers, giant Tesla tanks, and stuff like that. So heavy troopers for the Americans and the Allied. So it's really adding a weird touch to your existing bolt action factions.
Yeah, well, it's like Dust with a tight rule set.
Yeah. And it's also... It's a full game, but it's also an add-on for people who play Bolt Action. You don't have to buy a full new army. You just add some of the weird units that you don't have, and you already have most of your playable faction. So
I'm going to have to point to Jim Waffle to this, because he'd probably like this. Because he started Bolt Action.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll definitely send this his way, because he likes that weird... That weird science type stuff. That's why I think it's one of the reasons he likes Wild West Exodus so much.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
So right now you have the rule book on pre-order and also the German and the US Army starters.
That's pretty cool.
It's coming out August 2016, probably for Gen Con.
Nice. I will definitely tell Jim about that. And last of our non-Kickstarter / Indiegogo stuff is Freebooted Miniatures Buzo?
Whatever.
We'll say it with gravitas. Buzo.
Buzo. And it's German, so...
Oh, even better.
I can do a German accent.
That's okay.
I can barely do an English one, so
I'll just use my imagination. I'm sure it'll still be hilarious.
Buzo, it's the new miniature, a new specialist for the Goblin Pirates, which is one of the faction in Free Will for Fates. It's a goblin in a sea diver suit.
He is awesome.
Oh,
my God.
Yes, it is. He is.
People, buy this miniature so this company can keep making more of these miniatures.
Yeah. The fun thing is I played the freebooter for the first time last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I need to add to my starter, so that one is probably coming home soon.
He is amazing. What a cute little model. I really like him. I'm not a huge goblin fan, and I have no interest in pirates generally. But just from an aesthetic point of view, this is an awesome-looking model. I have no idea how big he is, though. Oh, it's Werner
really
Klock.
Small.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Werner Klock does some amazing, amazing sculpts for stuff like this.
Yeah, they're really small usually, but they are nice and detailed.
Yeah, that is a sick, sick-looking little goblin in a deep-sea diver suit. Well done. All right. So that takes us into our Kickstarter and crowdfunding stuff. And we, again, have a ton of this stuff, too. So I won't delay. First up, Wonderlands Project, Mauser Earth Skirmish Game, War for Paris.
You might have already heard about Mauser Earth because they do really nice miniatures in a bigger scale. They're 135, which is around 50 millimeter.
Okay.
And they are coming with the skirmish game for it, set in Paris. So the League miniature were already existing. Maybe not all of them, but they are regrouped by faction now and have rules to go with it. So it's a skirmish game. You need 4 or 5 miniatures for it. The starters come with the character cards and a mini rule book on top of the miniature and their bases for them. So like the Atlantic Alliance starter comes with 3 of their models. Their Reich starter comes with 4. Same thing with the Teo Soviet and their Pacific Empires. All of those are American, German, Russian, and probably Japanese team. And okay. Every one of their model is amazing.
Yeah, no, they do look pretty amazingly detailed. So let's see.
I don't know if you've looked at the Teo Soviet, the second one from the left. Looks kind of a Russian monk with flails, a giant incense flails. It's wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of really cool stuff, including a Canadian person, apparently.
Yeah, she's part of, she's called Captain Canada.
Part of the Atlantic Alliance starter.
Yeah. And I've mentioned the starters, but every model from their line is available as add-ons if you go further in the page. So you have every faction have about 8 to 10 models available.
So let's see, what does a starter cost? About 45 euros? That's not bad. $60 or so for those 3 large models?
Yeah, they're pretty big and they're really detailed.
Yeah, I think that's a good buy if you're just looking for something to paint. If you're not looking for the game, you just want something interesting to paint.
Mm-hmm.
That could be really cool. So they're about halfway through their goal, which is good, with 26 days to go. So I'm going to predict that this is likely to pledge. The Kickstarter ends Monday, August 15th.
Yes.
So be sure to check that out before that is over. Next in line, Cryptozoic Entertainment, The Walking Dead No Sanctuary. What's that about?
That's a fully cooperative 1-4 player game set into the TV series Walking Dead.
Okay.
So you are playing survivors in the different scenarios with tiles against a bunch of different type of walkers. Or rivals, because they also have bad guys.
So I don't know anything about the show, so I don't know.
Me neither.
It's the type of game that would really, really catch me. So let's see, how's this doing? So it's at, okay, well, it's nearly funded. It's only missing $5,000 out of its $250,000 goal with 13 days left to go. Mm-hmm. So this is definitely going to fund.
And it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
The the game comes with almost 100 miniatures, I think, base. And that's, well, yeah, 84 miniatures. And that's before stretch goals, which are going to probably add a lot when they start going on.
Yeah. And let's see, this runs for 13 more days. And that ends August 1st. All right. Next in line, we have The Whole Dude. Doorstopper, Dice Holder, Bookstopper.
I don't watch Game of Thrones. I haven't read it. I know it's based on something in one of the last episodes, because with Odor, one of the characters holding a door or something. There were memes about that all over the internet when it came out. And it's a small project to either have a dice tray, a doorstopper, or a book holder with the in the shape of the old dude, which is a non-infringing odor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's customizable, so you have a bunch of different heads if you don't want to use the official one. You can have a pirate odor or a Mexican one, or a pirate old dude, or a Mexican one, different type of vest and everything. So,
that's interesting.
A bunch of options.
So I'm wondering if this one's going to be, how far this one's going to go. Because it's at 6,500 euros of the 40,000 euro goal. It's got 22 days left, though. So
that it's a big pledge, and it's something
that... It may surprise us.
Oh, sorry. It's also something that might be seen as a... What's the word? Ripoffy?
Yeah, well, I mean,
It is
a doorstop made to look like Hodor is just that's pretty special. Right. So 22 days to go. That ends August 11th. Okay. Next up, the Hobby Transporter. Now, this I think I saw from Meg Maples, didn't I?
Yes, you did. She shared it.
Okay.
I don't know how much she's involved into it. I think it's either a friend or somebody. I think her husband Mark is
involved somehow, yeah. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. So it's, let's call it spade a spade, right? It's
a variant on the table war case.
Yeah. It's a variant. Wow, that's very diplomatic of you. It's a knockoff of the table war case. But that's not a bad thing necessarily. Competition is good. It does have some design elements that are different.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons they did this is because apparently Table War doesn't ship outside the continental US. So US and Canada. They want to have a product available in Australia. And we're on that side of the world. So this is their attempt to make it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the product looks good. It seems to be built, you know, built well. The cases, of course, are those aluminum cases that we see for, like a roadie case. So you see it for all kinds of like electronics transport or tableware transporting miniatures and stuff. So the case is going to be solid. The retention system, I don't really know how it differs than the tableware stuff.
I don't think it does. It's what I've seen. It's all acrylic trays, so it's putty.
Oh, you're just blue tacking this stuff down?
I think so.
Hmm,
you can get a magneted rubber, so you can magnetize them.
Okay, yeah. That blue tacking stuff. I guess I know most people who do painting, competitive painting, use tableware cases and just putty stuff at the bottom of them and carry it around.
Yep.
I mean, obviously it's not that useful for an army transport, but maybe just for painting stuff, it works fine. And I think it's priced basically the same as the army transport, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's about $100 for the base model. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's 90 Australian dollars.
Well, that was the early bird.
That was the early bird, yeah. That's
true. The almost early bird is 95, and the regular one is 100.
Yeah, okay.
100 Australian dollars. I think that translates to 100 Canadian. I think we're about one for one right now with Australia. So it's priced very similarly.
Yeah, we're just shy of under $1. It's 98 right now.
Okay, so. $1.02 then. $102, yeah. There's not really much else to say. I mean, it'll hold your models. They're half... Go ahead.
No, I was agreeing with you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's halfway funded. So it's at 10,000, almost 11,000 of its 20,000 Australian dollar goal. It's got 25 days left to go. So I'm going to say it's a good chance. And that ends August 14th. Next up, the Phalanx Consortium Outbreak Survivor Miniatures.
So, Skirmish Outbreak is a zombie game that was released at Gen Con last year. And with this Kickstarter, they are adding official miniature to the line, to the game, because it was running on generic miniatures before. So now they are... Right now, you only have 3D renders, but they are looking really good. It's a bunch of survivor you would see in a post-apocalyptic zombie outbreak. They're all named the guy with the shotgun, the goggles, the backpack. The other survivor with him, which is Lulu Brown, I think. She looks good too. Most of the minis look good.
The dog looks really good.
Yeah. Like,
and I know it's stupid, but animals are in some ways a lot harder to sculpt than people.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're familiar with how people work and how we're put together, more or less. But animals, people tend to forget how they are actually made. So yeah, whenever I can see an animal sculpt that looks well proportioned, it usually means good things for the rest of the line.
Yeah. They're pretty affordable. They come in sets of 5 for $25, and it comes with the Outbreak PDF too.
Okay, so very reasonable. All right. And that's pretty much funded. They're missing $110 from being funded with 20 days to go. So I think that's pretty much guaranteed. And that ends on Tuesday, August 9th. Suivant next, as we say. Phalanx Games. What the heck am I talking about? Talon Games. Cav Strike Operations 2. Now, Cav was a Reaper Miniatures product originally, I believe, right?
And I think it still is. However, Talon Games is the group that's running the rules part of the game right now.
Right.
So it's a... Strike Operation is a new edition of the classic Mecha game that Reaper Miniature did. This Kickstarter is for... It's their second Kickstarter. The first one was for the two of the faction, and this one is adding new miniatures or remolding of old ones for two new factions or two existing factions that were not mentioned in the first one. So this time it's the Adonis and the Ritterlich that are coming to Kickstarter. So everything will be casted in the plastic bones material.
Mm-hmm.
So they're probably pretty cheap for your size, and it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and we put together some of the Bones Cav stuff at Adepticon because it was in our swag bags.
Oh yeah, you did. Okay,
and it's got the typical soft plastic issues, though you can really see Bones come a long way. I mean, it's still soft, it's still flexible, but usually when you have big flat surfaces, which most of these mecha do, you get when the plastic shrinks when it cools. You get like concave surfaces, and we noticed very, very little of that in the Cav models we put together.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
We're pretty impressed with that. So they've really fine tuned that Bones production.
Yeah, and it's a lot of miniatures. Their base pledge is $100, and that's 44 minis.
Yeah, exactly. How do you go wrong for that, right?
Yeah,
and the game. I think these rules they were testing last year at ReaperCon. when we were there. So that's over a year and a half ago, or almost a year and a half ago now. So I think they've played and tested, and they've got a very dedicated fan base working on it. So I think it's going to be pretty cool. If you're into that giant robot stompy fighty thing. I did mention when the Kickstarter runs still, did I?
Nope.
Didn't I? Oh, I didn't? Oh, look at that. Okay, so that Kickstarter is already funded, which initially surprised me. I didn't think it would go that fast. And it runs until the 6th of August, Saturday, August 6th. So 17 days left. Next up, it's something we haven't had in a few weeks. It's another Blood Bowl team. Yes. So, Willy Miniatures, a fantasy football dwarf team.
They are looking good.
They are stunning. Like I said before, before we start recording, it looks like as if Cyborg made a fantasy football team.
Yes. Like it's that level of sculpting. That level of sculpting.
Of detail. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, fantastically well done.
It, compared to the old Game Workshop one, so miles away from them. It's not even comparable. They look good.
Yeah, I mean, it's like comparing the Model T to a modern Mustang, right? Oh, yeah, it's not even fair. And he's completely funded twice over. So he was looking for 4,000 euros. He's already at 9,000 almost with 20 days left.
And it doesn't cost that much. It's 65 euros. That comes with a complete 15-player teams, and that includes shipping worldwide.
Yeah, I mean, how do you go wrong with that? The answer is you don't.
Yeah.
That's right. So this project, like I said, has 20 days left to go, which takes it to Tuesday, August 9th. Do you ever wonder why people finish projects on like weird days of the week?
No idea.
I would think you'd want to finish on like a Saturday or Sunday to give people that last minute chance to sit down and really think about it when they're not at work.
You don't want because most people are not available during their weekend. Not really? in front of their computer. So it's one of the reasons to end during the week.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I guess just a different thought process in me. It's not the way I usually do things.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
It depends on what type of work you have. If you have more free time because you're not stuck to your computer in your work. In my case, I'm always in front of my computer at work. But if I'm with the family, it's not the case. So I can see the reasoning.
Fair enough. All right. Next up, White Tree Miniatures. Afterglow Miniatures game, Forsaken. So what's that about?
Afterglow Miniatures was on was crowdfunded recently. It's a post-apocalyptic game, a skirmish game. And they had five factions originally. This Indiegogo project is to add a new faction, the Forsaken. They are a mishmash of everything that is outlawed or not allowed into their other more civilized savage factions. Because we must be honest, it's all post-apocalyptic. There's not really anybody who's not a bit savage. But they're worst.
Yeah, there's no nice guys in the post-apocalyptic world. Yeah.
So it's a collection of even more bad people. As they mentioned, they have mutants, criminals, cannibals, and people infected by the Black Mouth disease, which is probably something that brought the world down. I haven't read the Aftergo fluff, but that's probably included in there.
Yeah, and so they've got 299 euros raised of their 2,000 euro goal. It's in the go-go, so we don't have an exact ending date, but it says there's a month left.
Mm-hmm.
So plenty of time to back that, and the target's so low that I can only assume it's going to go well.
It's worth looking at it. Even if you don't plan to play the game, if you want to play maybe a generic game like This Is Not a Test, maybe, because the miniatures do look good. So they could be easily used as proxy in other games of the same genre.
Repurposed, if you will.
Mm.
All right. Almost there, Antoine. Battlezone miniatures. Raiders of Arcana. The Fawn Warriors. So this is you kicking it old school.
Yes. It's a bunch of Fawn Warriors. The title is pretty clear. It's a small project to do old school Skulls. 28 millimeter metal Skulls. For the game Raiders of Arcana. Or other tabletop games that could use this kind of miniatures. There you have a different type of models, either a warrior with shields, standards, common, an hero, musician, stuff like that. So, but all old school Skulls. They have a nice drawing a blank on the... It's late. I haven't slept enough. Nostalgic feeling to them.
Yeah, they definitely make me think of something, you know, Citadel Miniatures circa late 80s, early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's definitely a classic feel to them. So if you like that kind of old school style, then it might be something worth checking out. So that Kickstarter, they're almost funded too, right? They only wanted £700. They're at 424 with 21 days left to go. So that runs until August 10th, 2016. I don't know why I added the year. That runs till August 10th.
I don't know either.
Yeah, me neither. Okay. I'm tired too. It's all good. Last but not least on the list. We've made it, Antoine. We made it to the end. Darkgate Games, Vampire Hunters.
This is another board game. We mentioned already one by the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
This is another co-op games set into... You're playing new vampire hunters thrown into the midst of a bunch of monsters. The big draw for me was the team. It's all either Russian or Slavic inspired. Your characters are named Nikolai, Alexei, Svetlana, Boris. They have a kind of near sci-fi slash doom. Doomed the video game feel.
I can kind of see that. They are nice sculpts too for board game miniatures.
Yes. I don't know how they will end up as real models because what we see are...
Are renders.
Renders.
And final results also depend a lot on the material they use.
Yeah. Right? So it depends... We don't know how much of the details will hold into the final models.
Yeah.
But they do look good.
Absolutely. And this thing is exploding, right? They've got $97,500 of the $40,000 they wanted. So they are already twice over, like, over twice their goal.
Mm-hmm.
With 29 days to go still. So this doesn't end until August 18th. So there's plenty of time to get in on this.
For sure.
All right, buddy. We made it all the way to the end. This has been probably the longest news shows we've ever done because they're at like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. All right. Well, I guess I will let you get to bed. And that's it. We'll see you later, geeks.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by Ladrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find The Nerd Bite, daily themed updates about several facets of nerddom, with main focuses on the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and things that fall under the Super Hulock fandom. Also, nerdy adventures, conventions, theme parks, and loot crates. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at unitedgeeksnetwork.com.